Faithful. When number eight speaks, you listen.
You're just making me feel like you're not listening, bro. Did you go get a donut?
Because he can make the inconceivable.
It's like the Princess Bride. Remember, inconceivable.
Conceivable. It's time for the Festive 49er.
You don't put Halloween lights in a tree.
Yeah, I do.
Christmas tree, not Halloween tree.
It's Hall of Famer Steve Young with Tolbert and Copes.
Sponsored by Friedman's Appliance. Proudly serving all of Northern California with a wide selection of luxury appliances. Visit them in Pleasant Hill to see the Friedman's difference. And by Putnam Kia in Burlingame.
On the Sports Leader.
All right, we're back here on the Leader, Crowley and Kurtenbach in for Tolbert and Copes here on Wednesday evening, the night before Thanksgiving. It's time for everyone's favorite time of the week here on KMBR, and that is time to talk to the Hall of Famer, Steve Young. Steve, happy early Thanksgiving. How are you? How did you enjoy Monday?
Great. Well, I enjoyed it because they played so well, but getting in and getting out are tough. But the 49ers, I'm grateful for the ride home they gave me. So that made it a lot less painful. But the drive, I mean, you know, the airport was a good 45 minutes, maybe an hour and a half away. So,
oh, wow.
You know, but it was good. It's good. It's good to see, you know, John and Kyle and Brian and, you know, just guys that I've known for a long time. It's fun to say hello to everybody. And that was cool.
You weren't in any cars with Adam Schefter or anything. I hear that he might get kidnapped down in Mexico.
Yeah, I know.
City.
I like the drama. Come on, man.
Who would want to kidnap Adam Schefter?
Well, the cars are all inside this really high security zone.
Okay.
And like, so if you get in one and you're not sure who it is, you're like, they had to get there somehow. You know what I mean? Like, Adam, don't panic. I think you're going to be okay.
We don't want money. We just want scoops.
But if he just took his shirt off, everything would have been fine.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible. Speaking of incredible, Jimmy Garoppolo, to me, Steve, these last 3 weeks, it has just looked like a much better version than we've seen of him over the last few years. It's giving visions of what we saw when he was first acquired by the 49ers back in 2017, and there was so much hope, so much optimism surrounding his tenure back then. What have you seen over the last 3 weeks? What stood out to you about Monday night and the way he was able to extend plays and just how he facilitated this offense?
Yeah. Well, what I, you know, down there, I mean, there's a lot of 49er fans in Mexico City. Flew in and some were down there. They lived there, and it was just, you know, it was 49ers ran the stadium. And so I saw a lot of the people, you know, and they'd say, yell something to me or, hey, you know, and then one of the guys goes, why are you so hard on Jimmy? And I'm like, I don't know that I am, but thanks. Okay. But I thought to myself, why would he say that? And I said, I asked myself, like, why am I? And I think what I come to the conclusion is I don't want Jimmy around for a couple more months. I want Jimmy around for 10 years.
Huh.
And so I think that's why when we talk about Jimmy and what's happened and the fundamental relationship with he and Kyle, that's why I keep talking about it, because something has to improve or else we'll get the, you know, it's like insanity. You get the same results all the time. Like what's going to change? And I think the trip showed me a couple of things. One, I think Brian Griese is making a real impact. There's a sense of accomplishment that I think Brian's bringing out, and a sense of place where, you know, like the throw to George in the game where he's in the pocket, starting to break down. He's climbs up and finds George and doesn't, like, you know, I just, for the touchdown. So those are plays you're like, wow, okay. How can anyone say that what you saw play, you know, the quarterback you saw play Monday night can't be here for 10 years.
Right.
And so that's what the most exciting thing for me is, that I want Jimmy to become the full measure of who he is at this offense, because this offense is the best offense in the league. So if you said, Steve, go play right now, not that I could, but go play right now, you get to pick anywhere. And you think, well, he picked the 49ers because he used to play for them. No. Oh. Like, if I could choose somewhere, I would choose here. And so for Jimmy, I was like, I know that if he could choose, I'll choose for him. Like, there's nowhere else you'd want to be. Trust me on this. James Garoppolo, like, there's no place that you'd want to be than right here. And so in my mind, I guess if I'm hard on the situation, it's that I don't want him to be here for a couple more months. I want him to be here for 10 years. And then, because if you have answers at quarterback for 10 years, then you're You know, then you're in the mix every year, like the Chiefs are every year, like the Bills will be in the every year. You know, that's where you want to be in the NFL today. So that's why. I guess that's my – so if you think about how I feel about the last 3 weeks, there has been, like you said, the eyeball test says something's better, and let's just love that. And I think if I had to think of the author of that, a lot of it is, you know, Kyle figuring out how to better – you know, as players, like you need great players. Christian McCaffrey is going to help everybody look better.
Right.
And then that allows Kyle to be better because now he can do more cool stuff. And that allows Jimmy. And I think what I'm seeing from what he's working with Brian, it just feels like it's all coming together, which is super cool.
It does help to have Trent Williams as your left tackle, too.
And... oh, by the way, I said that to John after the game, John Lynch. I said, John, I don't know that I mean, to play quarterback when there's nothing happening on your behind you. Like there's nothing. Like you don't even have to look. Never question. It's done. It's over. It's like I've never seen a more dominant. And I mean, maybe it was just Monday night because I had the time to, you know, kill. I was watching Trent and I'm like, oh, it's like it's an unfair fight at every play. And it's like you don't in the NFL there are no unfair fights. They don't happen. But I guess with Trent Williams, they happen. And that was an unfair fight the whole night. There was, like, nothing. And so I thought as a quarterback, if you could play, you know, with these guys, with this system, and Trent Williams, like, locking down a side, you're like, hey, sign me up. I think that'd be amazing. And there's not – I'm not jealous. Too many years have gone by. But there is an appreciation for – what Trent Williams is doing, no question.
Have you ever seen a left tackle? I mean, obviously, he's an incredible pass protector. That's step one. The way that he moves in the open field, and clearly Kyle has a tremendous amount of fun drawing up these plays. He might as well be a plow, a snow plow, because he's just kinda rolling them over.
So what I love about the NFL is it brings forward athletes that you just can't imagine. Like the NBA obviously is so clear because they're 7 foot tall and they can run the four.
Right.
But in football, like I love to have a catch with the linemen because what will happen is there will be three or four of them that just rip the ball. Like you're like, oh my. And I say to them, why didn't you play quarterback, man? He's like, well, because I was so big.
Right.
Like, and I was like, well, why do we do that? You're either too big or too small. Like, why does it have to be perfect when a guy's ripping the ball? Like, some of these linemen are such amazing athletes, and they're relegated to linemen because they're big. And so that's why I think about Trent. I remember Reggie White. Whenever Reggie White was near me and he would run and when he would – like, you'd say to yourself, there's no way that man is 6'6", 6'7", 350. Like, there's no – that's not possible because he acts and runs and does stuff like
– yeah.
All of us that are more normal sized. I mean, usually big, huge guys can't do that. They can't, like, they're huge for real. Like, they can't play. But there's those athletes that have now find their way to the offensive or defensive line because nobody thought to put them at tight end so they can crush everyone for the rest of their lives or at quarterback when they can throw 100 yards. Like, they, and I've said to some linemen, oh, such a tragedy that you didn't play quarterback the way you throw the football and the athleticism that you have. And they feel the same way because they're out there throwing every four practice. They're out there throwing the ball because that's I'm really good at this. Yeah, no duh. But obviously you're too big. And so we do that in the NFL. So Trent is somebody that's way too big to be doing what he's doing because we don't think that's possible. But he's one of those rare athletes like Reggie White who absolutely can get out and take care of business and be fleet of foot. And then can do all the maneuvering of someone much smaller, and that's why he's so dominant.
Yeah, I always love hearing the stories of guys, whether it be high school or Pop Warner, talking about playing different positions. I remember Marshawn Lynch, because he was so big, talked about playing guard growing up on the offensive line. And you hear about those things, and it's like, imagine Trent Williams as a fullback in a goal line package in high school.
No, Kyle Shanahan just did it last year.
But I think that's the sad thing is that when they're growing up, we don't test their athleticism. We just see their size. Remember the guy who played for University of Kentucky?
Jared Lorenzen, the hefty lefty.
There it is.
Yeah, the hefty lefty, man. Why would you, if a guy is, he's 11 years old, and he's big, twice as big as everybody, and he could throw it? All the young Pop Warner coaches out there, please, if you see someone like that, let him play quarterback. please, somebody's got to get through the system who's 6'6", 320, and is just ripping the ball. I need to see that in the near future.
Oh, I'd love to see
this
it.
This is what we do in Madden. This is just okay exactly. And do all the sliders to the right.
Yeah. But it's not unimaginable. It is true. I've grown up with linemen that can do that, and I know who those guys are. They are out there, but they get relegated because of their size.
Shameful. Yeah.
They've got the physical tools to do pretty much anything on a football field, and that leads me to my next question here, Steve, is the mental capacity to play the quarterback position in the NFL. You know it better than anyone, and I want to ask about Jimmy Garoppolo going to his second, third, and then it looked like his fourth read on the goal line to hit Brandon Ayuk on Monday night. How difficult in the red zone, in that tight space, is the processing and the decision-making and then ultimately making that throw? How tough is that for a quarterback?
What I was thinking about this earlier, great question, because Bill Walsh used to, his theory around the West Coast offense was, I want to tie the quarterback's footwork to the route so they time up, and then you know where to throw it based on your footwork. Five-step drop, hitch, throw it to Jerry Rice in the Z. And if he's not open, hitch, throw it to Brent Jones over the ball. Hitch, if he's not there, hitch again. Now drop it to Tom Rathman. Like that's so all you have to do is your feet tell you where to go and how to read. That was his idea. And I think, you know, it was revolutionary, and it's amazing. But today, that's not necessarily how it works anymore, because the footwork is so different out of the RPOs and the shotgun. And that's why I never took a snap in my whole life. I've said this many times on the show, in shotgun, ever. And it's like unimaginable to me, because Bill wanted he didn't think it could time up in the shotgun to tie people, you know, quarterback's feet to the timing of the route. Yeah. So that's how that happened. But today, if Bill could watch what Kyle's doing, I know what he would say. It's like, dang, why didn't I think about that? Because what's happening is he's taking wide receiver routes and he's creating these loopy routes that now come like you see him. Ayuk starts off the field. Brandon starts off the field. I mean, off the ball, goes up, shakes, goes out, and then comes looping back around. And by the time he's ready for the ball, it's the second read,
right,
which I think is kind of cool and genius. And so for Jimmy, I love it, because the receiver has a second read rather than a fullback or a third read coming out of the backfield. The leverage is so much different on the defense. And so that's why all of a sudden you come off across the field. Brandon's done his thing, which is delayed essentially. It's not meant to be first. And it's delayed, and as he comes in, it's now time, because the first guy wasn't open. Now you don't have to worry about your footwork anymore. The receivers and everybody are timing it up so that it's created its own kind of check down. But it's for a touchdown. It's not for a five-yard gain. And I just – there's the things that he's doing. You know, there was a kind of a bootleg that was run last week. I can't remember. And I think it was Brandon was playing the X receiver. He came down and cracked back on the block on the end.
Right.
And then the fullback came through in the backside corner. That's what the crosser was the touchdown against the, maybe it was the Rams, I can't remember. But anyway, but it was like, I know Bill Walsh would say, dang, why did I think of that? Like, there's a bunch of stuff that Kyle's doing that I know Bill would just like tip his cap, you know, for all the cool stuff. And that's what's happening in the league today, because it's less sophisticated, because you got less time with coaches and players, and it's more wide open because of safety regulations on the field. It's just, there's so much more to do, and it's a lot more fun. But I think for Jimmy, like you said, reading across the field, finding people open, I think that that's the growth, that why you guys asked me the first question. So we love that growth. Then I love that how, I don't know, not easy, but how efficient Kyle creates the opportunities for the quarterback, which is why if I chose to go play somewhere, it would be here. Second would probably be in Miami.
I want to go down that Miami trail some other time, but along the point that you just made, obviously there's less practice time. It's a cerebral game. It's maybe less physical than it was, but the Niners, you had a great vantage point on Monday night. I mean, they beat the living hell out of the Cardinals. How much of a factor is the Niners' relentless physicality on a week-in, week-out basis? Because I thought Monday was a great example.
They're going to look back at early losses in this season and just go, what in the world are we doing? Mm-hmm. You know, because of that's who – but I love that, because that's who they've become. And I think the full measure of who they were what they thought about in August. It took, you know, a couple months to kind of get everybody kind of set up. But now, you know, to me, that's why I said last time I played Gravedigger was Dave Matthews was my walk-in music, because, like, they're going to dig a lot of graves for people. I even said they're going to go to Mexico, they're going to dig a grave for the Cardinals, their season's going to go down. Like, this is it. And that's what happened, because now, you know, the coach is getting fired. They're not about, like, and so that's where the 49ers are going to, I believe, not run the table, because that's just a dumb thing to think about in the NFL, but just they should be able to maul everybody. And if there's an odd loss here or there, but I think they're set up to run into five teams, right, that are including them. Minnesota, maybe. Philadelphia, probably. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys, maybe, like, if they're as good as they were last week, which they never are as good, but nope. they never sustain it. But if they could sustain that, then, yeah, maybe, right? And then the Bucs. Like, the Bucs, with Tom settled in, cathartic kind of through all of it, I think they're going to get better and better. So I think that's it. That's what you're going to run into. And everybody that I just mentioned, I think, will be better. And the 49ers will, too. So the five teams I just mentioned will be better in January than they are today. Okay. And that's why I think they'll – and that's okay. We can – you know, is anyone afraid to go to Philadelphia or go to Dallas? Or we did that last year. We'd go to Tampa if we had to. Like, I don't think we'll have to go. But I don't think anybody's afraid of any of that.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I mean, they certainly dug the grave for the Los Angeles Rams. They just dug it for the Arizona Cardinals. Who knows who's next? But, Steve,
well,
it's that
Saints
time.
The Saints are next. They're going to dig it for the Saints.
Saints and then the Dolphins, then the Buccaneers.
There you go. So, Steve, it's that time of the week. Every week, KMBR and Steve Young's Forever Young Foundation honor a Bay Area hero as the Forever Young Foundation Hero of the Week. We've seen so many great individuals and organizations go above and beyond over the last year and a half to support those who truly need it most. And this week we salute Pivotal. Pivotal scholars prove that being in foster care doesn't have to equal a lifetime of disappointment. Pivotal's foster youth college graduation rate is 10 times the national rate for foster youth. That's fantastic. Many go on to earn advanced degrees. They help them get there by making a long-term commitment to their success. Pivotal's expert coaches work with youth one-on-one to reach academic and employment goals and round out their Pivotal experience by offering scholarships, academic tutoring, professional development workshops, summer internships, and job placements. So Pivotal stick by them throughout high school, college, and then into their careers and help them get the life they want for themselves. So in the holiday season, that's really cool to think about and really cool to honor them this week.
I appreciate that. You know, you think about what people are doing for kind of the marginalized in our society and making sure that they get a leg up, you know, an opportunity to go make their own way. Like, a lot of people, they don't want a handout. They want a hand up, right? They want a chance. And so you get these kids in these foster programs and some great foster stories and great foster families. And I applaud every one of them, but this is amazing. When you read those up, I'm like, oh yeah, I love that. I love that as somebody's in there digging it out every day, making somebody's lives better. And that's why I do it. Just yell their name out. What was the name of the company? The group again? Pivotal. Like, yell it out. Like, let's give them a hug. If you ever see anyone at Pivotal, give them a hug. Because they're making it happen. And anyone else that comes to me and says that I'm hard on Jimmy Garoppolo, I hope I explained it. Right? So if people think I'm hard on him, I don't want him to be playing, you know, in wherever next year. Right? I want him playing. And people say, what about Trey? Like, look, don't worry about it. Like, let's just – but what I know is you never have enough great quarterbacks. Never. And so if we can – if Jimmy – I want him here for 10 years, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. So anyway, that was my answer to the guy as I went by the grandstands in Stadia Azteca, and he was giving me a hard time. So there you go.
Steve Young has standards, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly.
I'm not going to take it standing – sitting down. You know, you're going to hear about it. All right.
Steve,
happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Thanksgiving to you. Thank you so much.
Okay, you guys are great.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.